you are thankful to God. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of James. I feel led to minister this morning on the subject, what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. How many have ever been in situations where you didn't know what to do? Can I see your hands, please? Look around. Just leave your hand. Everybody, how many of you have been in situations and crises and things in your life where you didn't know what to do? And some of you couldn't lift your hand. So I imagine you didn't hear me. That or you got so much pride you couldn't lift your hand. But you know, we have to acknowledge, don't we, that there's times in our lives that we don't know what to do. And so, let's read here in the book of James, in the time that we have this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Mario. It says, James, I'm in chapter 1, verse 1, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the anointed one, by the way, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, or two minds. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. What to do when we don't know what to do? Now, I want to give you 5 points of this message. I don't know, you know, if I'll get them all covered, but let me go ahead and give them to you up front, because I know some of you, you know, you're students of the Word, and you want what God has for you. Amen. I'm going to give them to you right quickly. The first one is that we're to count it all joy. The second one, know that if we handle it right, we'll be better off. The third one is, ask God for wisdom. The fourth one is to receive that wisdom by faith. And then rejoice because you received it. That's number 4. And number 5, just as important, to act, talk, to praise as though the victory is yours. Amen. Like you've got it already before you ever see it. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Amen? Now, of course, a wise person will come to the conclusion that there are times in their lives that they're not going to know what to do. Now, a foolish person, or a person full of a pride, won't admit they don't know what to do. And they'll keep trying to do it themselves. But they never learn, and they never figure out that they just keep on doing what they've always done, so they have what they always have, and they just continue to dig a hole deeper and deeper and deeper for themselves. So the first thing you got to begin to do is admit that you don't always know what to do in every situation. There are going to be situations like, you know, the Apostle Paul. He went to God and he asked God to relieve him of this thorn in the flesh. But he got the revelation that God's grace was sufficient in all things. We have to realize and come to that place where we're not going to know in life how to do everything every time. And that's why we come to a place where what do we do when we don't know what to do? Are you with me, church? Well, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to count it all joy. That's the first one, when I fall. Now, that implies that when I fall down in life or when I face a trial or face situations, they're not intentional. When you don't ever plan to fall. You don't ever plan to fall down, but sometimes you do fall down. And so when I fall, the first thing I got to do is I've got to count it all joy. But let me say what has to be included with that. You've got to have an attitude adjustment. You've got to adjust your attitude and the way you think about the trials and the things that come, the tests, the temptations. We know, because if we read on in this first chapter of the book of James, that the trials and tests do not come from God. God does not test us with those evil things. Can somebody say amen? So we come back to a place, if you're writing something down, we've got to think positive in bad situations. In other words, if I'm going to count it all joy when I fall, I've got to change my attitude and think and begin to think positive, because if I continue to think negative, it's just going to continue to take me down further and further. Now, you know yourself, and I'm sure you have been around people who are negative about everything. I know none of you are like that. But see, the attitude becomes a decision of your will. Are you with me? In other words, I've got to make an attitude adjustment going into the things, into the trials, into the situations, that I'm no longer going to see it as a problem, but an opportunity. You know, that's the first place you can begin to adjust your attitude right there. I don't have a problem. I have an opportunity. And how many know life will bring you a bunch of opportunities? Which brings me to the second point. If I handle it right, and I put an emphasis on the if. Everybody say if. If I handle it right, then I know I will be better off because of it. If I face the trial, if I face the situation, and I handle it the right way, the way of God, then I will be stronger, I will be better, I will be better coming out of it than when I went into it, and I will be a testimony, and I will give the devil another black eye because I came out on the other side the victor. Are you with me? If I handle it right, and this implies that it means that I have to know some things. I don't just want to go through life blind. I don't want to go through situations and, not know how to handle them. But I know that there's going to be situations where I don't know what to do. So I've got to immediately develop an attitude. And the positive attitude says, okay, yes, here's a situation. Here's a test. Here's a trial. But I'm going to look at this thing as an opportunity. An opportunity to get what I need from God, because whatever comes, I know I can get the super put on my natural. And it takes a supernatural divine intervention of God to overcome the world. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter. Just hold your place there. I want to read one more passage of scripture to you. Because opportunity is an opportunity to succeed. It's an opportunity to be a witness. You know, I think I've said before, if you don't have trials and tests, no test, you don't have testimony. So when the trial and the test comes, if you begin to look at it as an opportunity, how many know that is a positive adjustment of your attitude? Because you could start whining and crying and complaining and saying, oh, it's me. Why does everything happen to me? Well, we got to learn that is not a positive attitude. That is not counting it all joy. Joy means to have delight. Now, we don't delight when things go wrong, but we delight in God, because whatever the devil means for bad, we know that God can turn it around for good. Now, look at Romans chapter 5, and let's read here. Now, opportunity
is something that we are facing. And when you look at opportunity, not as a problem, but as a situation that you're facing to get victory over and to come through it better than you went in. Are you following me? Okay. It says, therefore, verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, whatever we are facing, whatever we're going through, it is the will of God that we face it in faith, but that we have peace throughout it. We start falling apart when we lose our peace. Because just like joy is a delight, and joy is a spiritual force that gives you and I strength, so is peace. Peace is what begins to guard our hearts and our minds, and we quit listening to those other voices. And we begin to find out what God says about it. How many know when you find out what God says about it, then you can act on what God said, and that becomes faith. Well, he says, through whom we also have access by faith. Access by faith. That's why we teach faith. That's why we need to understand faith. Because faith is the entrance into everything that you receive from God. You can't even get saved without faith. You can't get healed without faith. Somebody said, why do y'all teach and preach so much on faith? Because it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is important. It's important because everything I receive from God has to be by faith. Don't tell me we preach faith too much. We don't preach faith enough. Because if we walk in faith, then we'll be less likely to fall and to stumble. Well, he said, through faith. Now look at this. He said, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, not fall, say stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. Now watch me here, because here's Paul. He had to get a revelation. If you go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find out that Paul went to God complaining about the thorn in the flesh. And that's when God answered him and gave him the revelation that my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. So we have to learn right away that we turn in what the enemy is trying to do to kill us or to destroy us or to take us down. We have to turn that into an opportunity to succeed. We adjust our attitude by not looking at the problem, but by looking to God and seeing what we're facing as the opportunity to go through that thing and to come out stronger on the other side. You got to listen to this. So he says, and not only that, but look, that we also glory in tribulations. He's talking about that rejoice in the hope. The hope is that expectation that we have in God that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. That is the expectation. That's the confidence that we have in our God, that if we do it God's way, not our way, then everything is going to come out in the end like it's supposed to come out. So we rejoice in that glory. The glory of God is the manifested presence of God. The glory of God is the blessing of God upon our life. Are you with me, church? So we rejoice in that, but not only that, but we also glory in the tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. Now, patience is when, listen, patience means to be steadfast and not to be moved. You know, you have a lot of impatient Christians. You have a lot of Christians that have not learned to develop patience, so they're easily, you know, moved and they fall to pieces when crises come to their life. That's why we have to be people of the Word of God. Heaven and earth will fade, will pass away, but those who remain on the Word of God, because the Word of God will live and remain forever. So we attach ourselves and we learn that we are not to vacillate. We are not to be up one day and down another day. We're not to be in and we're not to be out. We're supposed to be on an even keel, always going towards the glory, always going towards the presence, always going. Whatever happens down here, we just walk on through it just like they walked through the Red Sea and came out on the other side. We're always staying on an even keel. That's what it means to be steadfast. That's what it means to develop patience, because tests and trials, listen to this one, tests and trials, if you handle them right, can build and produce character in your life. That's what he says right there. He says, and not only that, but we also know we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, that steadfastness because of the patience that we develop, and perseverance and character hope. So we come to the conclusion that if we're going through something when we don't know what to do, we're going to count it all joy. We're going to delight, and we're going to begin to change our attitude and see it not as a problem, but see it as an opportunity to let our light shine for Jesus. Not only let our light shine for Jesus, but that others might see our light, so that when they face those things and they don't know what to do, they can look at your life as a witness, because you are praising God, because God delivered you out of all of your affliction. Amen. Some of you are walking, living testimonies unto God. And you need to tell them how you overcame those ordeals. Because the Bible declares that it rains on the just and the unjust. But those who remain standing are the ones that have built their foundation on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock of the living Word of God. The Word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And you've got to remain steadfast, and you've got to remain consistent. You can't let the devil hit you and knock you down and you stay down. You've got to bounce right back up on your feet and you say, praise God anyway. Devil, take your best shot. Whatever shot you take, I'm going to get back up, because greater is he, come out, than he that's in the world. Well, it's just like you taking an axe to a big old tree. You know, you just got to, you just got to keep hitting that tree with that axe, and you take out a little chip here and a little chip there. You can't, you know, let it, oh, it's too hot today. Oh, it's raining today. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. You just keep taking the axe and kapunk, 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 because the Word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword. And if you stay consistent and you stay on the Word of God, you will eventually be able to yell out, timber! Bam! And that tree falls out of your way. And you get ready and go on to the next one. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptation. Now go back to the book of James. My goodness gracious. See, when you learn how to develop patience in the trial and test, then you will experience the victory. You will experience the victory that will give you hope for the future. Or in other words, you develop confidence, not cockiness, but confidence that God got me through this thing. And God got me through this thing. And tomorrow, God will get me through that thing. And if he gets me through that thing, then he will get me through whatever thing I face in life. Same God, same hand of God, same Word of God, same miracle of God. Oh, somebody ought to get excited about the Lord. We go back to James, because what to do when we don't know what to do? We've got to, first of all, we got to count it all joy. Say all joy. We got to delight and look at it as an opportunity. Get that attitude adjusted right. Amen. And then knowing that if we handle it right. I said, if we handle it right, because there's a wrong way to handle things. But if we handle it right, then
God will take what the devil meant for bad and turn it around for good. Now, let's look at James chapter 1 again. Let's go to verse 3. Let's look at the next thing here. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, we just read that, didn't we? Here's James saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul said. Let everything be established out of the mouth of two or more witnesses. So they're saying the same thing. Are you with me? It says that, but let patience have its perfect work. That means that patience is designed to mature you. Babies don't know how to fight. Babies become wishy-washy. Are you listening? Okay. Babies don't know what to do, and they're always depending on somebody else to do it for them. Moving right along here. It says, let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, or you may mature and complete. And, I like that last part, and lacking nothing. Amen. Now, you didn't catch that. In other words, lacking nothing means that I got whatever I need. It means that whatever I need, God is able to get it to me. It means I will become more mature. It means I will be better equipped. It'll be in a position where I don't lack anything. Are you with me? A position where my goal or my destination is to get to a place where I don't lack anything. Mm-hmm. Nada. Nothing. Get to that place. But it's going to come because I have become a person that not only is my character building throughout my life in God, but that I'm changing my attitude to become positive and not negative about everything. Some people, everything to them is negative. You say, oh, it's a bright day. The sun's out shining. They say, it's too hot. They say, oh, it's cloudy. It's raining. Oh, I can't go to the beach today. You know, you ever been around somebody that's just totally negative? Don't raise your hand. But everything. Everything. Now listen to this. Negativity. Just write this down. Negativity has never helped anyone do anything good. Negativity, listen, has never helped anybody do anything good. Being positive is a blessing from God. Being positive. Negativity will harm you. Negativity will hurt you and harm you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Somebody that is negative, the fact of staying negative is that person is always sick, always hurting, always ailing in their body. Some bone, some joint, something is always wrong with them. Have you ever noticed that when you're negative, there's something always not right? But positive, being positive, causes you to live longer. You know, they did, and I looked this up. Studies have shown that positive attitude people live longer and are generally more healthier. You know, it took science a lot of years and a lot of money, a lot of research to compile what God already said in His Word. That's why we need to stay positive. Get positive. So become. Look at your neighbor and say, become a positive person. Come on, say, become a positive person. Verse 4. Says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Getting to the place where you don't lack anything. If any of you, and I like, you know what we just said a while ago. Now look at this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now here's the third thing. We have to ask God for wisdom. Wisdom is The Greek word S-O-P-H-I-A, Sophia, means insight to the true nature of things. Insight to what really is happening. Insight to what really is going on. Do you realize what the wisdom of God is and what the wisdom of God does? It gives you insight. It means that you don't have to stay in the dark like other people. But you have to ask God for wisdom. You know, we're always afraid of the unknown. When we don't have understanding of something is when we get scared, we get afraid, we get timid, we get shy, and all the above, and we get over into the negativity of life. You know, there's people that are afraid of flying. They don't understand. There's people afraid to drive. Can you imagine? But why? Well, maybe they saw somebody in a bad accident, or maybe they don't understand. They don't have insight to how the car works, and they're afraid to drive. Have you ever been in a car with somebody driving yourself, with somebody that had a fear of driving? Man, they're fidgety, and every time you go around the corner, they're holding on, and they're patting their feet. Watch it. Man, you start listening to all that, you're about to wreck yourself. People are afraid of things because they don't have knowledge. And God is full of knowledge. All fear comes from a lack of understanding. Are you with me? And listen to me before I read on here. God has not changed topics. Why is He telling us to ask for wisdom? Because we need insight. Now notice, all of a sudden, God's not talking about wisdom. Spirit of God's not talking about wisdom. He said, ask for wisdom. For what? So that you have insight into the trials, into the situations, into the things that you face in life. So you don't have to grope around in dark. Because if you can see where you're going and you can see the steps to get there, you can get there. You'll know where to turn. You'll know when to head right. You'll know what you need to do to get to your destination. It's talking about people in tests and trials. Look what he says. He said, but let them ask of God who gives to all liberally. In other words, God has enough. And God has enough to give to you to show you what to do when you don't know what to do. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're going to have those opportunities where we don't know what to do, but we need to be able to have wisdom. And in order to get wisdom, we've got to ask God for it. And God says, I've got plenty of it. Keep on asking me and I'll keep on giving it to you until you see light at the end of your tunnel. And what else does he say? And he said, and without reproach. In other words, God is not going to, he's not going to get tired of you asking him for wisdom. If you can't see how to do it, and I've been there many times. My hand was raised with you. I'm not in pride. My hand was raised. There's a lot of times I did not know what to do. But not only do you have to look at it as an opportunity, but you have to give God opportunity. You know what opportunity is? That means you've got to give God the opportunity to speak wisdom into your life.
Amen.
Opportunity. You men, you married men, you know what opportunity is? You don't spend time with your wife, you ain't going to get no opportunity.
Amen.
Moving right along here. You stay out with the guys all night and goof around, you ain't going to have no opportunity. Are you with me? Same thing with God. Same thing with God. You got to give God opportunity to impart wisdom in your life. You got to get in the Word. You got to stay on the Word. You got to pray the Word. You got to get in the place that's preaching the Word. Amen? Because through the Word is going to come the wisdom. When you don't know what to do, He says, ask of God and God will give you wisdom and He'll give it to you liberally and He's not going to hold it against you because you have to keep asking Him. Just give Him opportunity and He will keep giving it to you because God does not want you to stay in the dark. Are you with me? The Lord will give you wisdom if you give Him opportunity. So, you got to ask for wisdom. I'm still reading here. I'm still here. Now look at this. Because the next point was what? Not only do we ask God for wisdom, but we got to ask Him. Look at verse 6. We got to ask Him how? We got to ask Him in faith. Come on. Now, here's the question. How do we ask God in faith? Now, let me just scratch your lightning fast mind. If you don't understand faith and you've never been taught faith, how in the world are you going to ask God for wisdom in faith? Well, I don't know. I didn't think about that. Well, that's why we preach faith. That's why we teach people faith. We get accused of being faith people. Well, praise God, I'm guilty. Because without faith, you can't please God.
Amen.
Without faith, you can't get anything from God. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. And if you're going to get wisdom, you got to ask God, but you got to ask Him in faith. Well, I can tell you how not to ask God in faith. How not to ask God in faith by going to God and giving Him your laundry list of all your problems. Reciting to God how bad it is. Oh God, don't you know? We're living in terrible times down here. They've said it's going to be a recession. Don't you see, God? Gas is going up by the day. Those brothers of Ishmael are still causing us problems. We don't know what we're going to do. Bread has went up. All the groceries have went up. And oh, we don't know how we go. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to put food on the table. I don't know if I'm going to put shoes. Oh, God. Don't you know God sees all of your situations? You don't ask in faith by going to God reciting all your problems. That is not faith. I said that is not faith. Amen. To ask in faith, and I got to hurry with this because you don't listen to me. To ask in faith means you first of all, just like they did in Acts chapter 4. I don't have time to go read all the scriptures because we got late running here. But listen to me. They begin to exalt and magnify God. They threw the apostles in jail and the government was ready to kill them. How many know? If the government is ready to kill you, you got some big problem. You in a bad situation if the government's on your case. But you know what? They begin to exalt the name of God. They begin to declare how great their God was. They didn't go to God. Oh, God, get us out of this city. Oh, God. Crying, whining, complaining. They just begin to remind God of His Word. They just begin to say, how great is our God. God, You're able. You're able to deliver Your servants out of the hands of your enemy. That's all they said. And you can read on. You ask God. They talk about God. How you ask in faith? You talk about God first. You talk about how big God. I'm just telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. You got to ask God in faith. Not out of faith, but in faith. Remind God how big He is, how great He is, how wonderful He is. We teach you these things in the praise and the worship. You're asking in faith when you ask God based on the Scriptures. Why do we teach the Scriptures in church? So we get the Scriptures down inside of us. Where does faith live? It has to start in the heart and it has to proceed out of the mouth. It's in the heart, it's in the mouth. You have to know the Scriptures, understand the Scriptures, so you can pray the Scriptures. Are you with me? So you pray the Scriptures. That's how you ask in faith. Praise God. What else? Well, do it with your chin up.
Amen. Quit getting down there in the low life. But stand down there in the beggarly ailments. Oh, always me syndrome. Amen. Get up. I said, get up, bless God, and lift your head up. From whence cometh your help? Put some strength, put some joy. That's why he says, count it all joy when you fall, because the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. That's why that song was inside of me, okay? Y'all probably just laughing the way I sung it. But I'm telling you, when you get a revelation and the devil's trying to discourage you and try to distress you and take you down, bless God, God will lend a hand to you and pull you right back up. Put your foot back on the solid ground. I'm about to get excited. He said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. I'm almost through, but follow me here. Let him ask how? In faith. So we got to ask for wisdom, but we got to ask for wisdom in faith. It says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now here's the way a lot of Christians are. They are driven by the wind. And they're this way one day. And they're this way one day. And they're this way the next day. Just driven and tossed by whichever way the wind of adversity blows in their life. No backbone, no courage, no strength. Just whatever will be, que sera, sera. Are you following what I'm saying? He says, look what he says, because this is very important. He said, you ask in faith, no doubting. Because doubting is not only a sin, it's an enemy to your faith. You don't doubt what God said. You come to God with a childlike faith, believing what God the Father has said. Amen. Just like little children believe their father when their father tells them something until their father lies to them. Or their father tells them something that's not right, and they discover it. But you're never going to find your heavenly Father lie to you, or you're never going to find a mistake that your Father heavenly has made. Are you with me? You know how little children are. Jesus said, great in the kingdom are those who come as a little child. You know why? Because a little child will believe anything. If that father tells them he can jump over the moon, they believe him. And they'll go tell other people, my father can jump over the moon. You tell your children you're going to get them something, hey, your children believe you're going to get them something. Well, that's just the way God the Father is. You understand? God wants you to believe him like a little child believes his father. Because whatever God has said, that's the way it will be. Amen. His word is truth. And God is not a God who can lie. Are you with me? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the problem is this, is that immaturity can't make decisions. And so, read the rest of this before we stop here. He said he's like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He said, let not that man suppose he will receive what? Anything from the Lord. A double-minded, put the next verse, a double-minded or a person with two minds, what does that mean? Well, that means one day I believe it, and the next day, well, I'm not sure. One day, oh, God said that, but the next day, oh, I'm not sure. One day, God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Well, did you see the price of gas? Oh. When you are two-minded. See, being single-minded is that you take what God said, that's it. Because you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you feel. You're only moved by what you know. And you know that God's word is true and every man a liar. The media, politicians, whatever. Oh, they want to paint a real ugly picture for us, don't they? They want to tell us how bad things are going, how much recession we're going to have. And you can keep listening to that till you get just as negative as they are. But I'm not here to receive that. I said, I am not here because I found out that where my God rides and my covenant is with God, it doesn't matter what the nation is. It doesn't matter what they do. What matters is what I do in God, and God will bless me coming in and God will bless me going out. And I know that my God will meet all of my need according to His riches and glory. I know that. I know that now because I have been through it. And I know time after time after time after time I had to learn. But when I learned it, now I walk in it. Amen. Once I walk in it, bless God, I can praise God for it. When you're double-minded, you have trouble making decisions. And if you have trouble making decisions, it's because you're not grounded or mature in the things of God. When you are double-minded, it's because you haven't grown up in God. Now, it takes some people a long time to grow up. You could be a man 35, 40 years old, be 6 foot tall and weigh 240 pounds, and still be a baby on the inside. That's why you single girls, you don't want to get somebody and get attached to somebody that's double-minded. Amen. Just because they come to church and just because they dress up, look good, smell good, walk good, doesn't mean a thing. Amen. Doesn't mean a thing. Keep your lips off of them, keep your tongue out of them, and keep your body off of them till you find out that they are mature in the Lord. Pardon me, but I had to hurry. Because you get attached and you get a hold of somebody that's not mature. I'm just talking to the singles. Now, for you that already done it, at least you'll know better and teach. You'll teach your children. You know why? Because if you're mature and they're not, they're going to be double-minded. And the Bible says that if they're double-minded, well, they're unstable in all their ways. One day they'll tell you they love you. The next day they'll tell you they love something else better. One day they'll say, oh, yeah, we trust and we have faith in God. But then they'll quit going to church with you. Are you? You can't be single-minded and be immature. When you're immature, you're always going to be double-minded. And he said, let not that person think they'll receive anything from God. When you... See, I'm just telling you, when you don't know what to do, I'm telling you what to do. Amen. You say, yeah, but I'm in a relationship. And if I tell that person, you chicken-livered, yellow-bellied coward, stand up and you tell them, when you grow up, then we can have something here. Come on. How many people get into situations? I'm telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you how to save your life. I'm your pastor. Remember, I'm not your plumber. I'm not your physician. I'm your pastor. I'm trying to save you. Heartache. Headache. Yes. Coming in here and telling me how bad your husband is, how much he beats you and all that. I'm trying to save your life. Praise God. Somebody say amen. You want somebody just as mature as you are, or somebody just as immature as you are. But you certainly don't want to be unequally yoked. The Bible says that for a reason. I don't know how I got off on that. I was talking about what to do when we don't know what to do. Well, I just told you. Amen. There are going to be some relationships that, you know, you may just have to tell them. Because let me tell you something. Nothing moves out of the way by itself. You're going to have to face it. And you're going to have to press into it. And you're going to have to press into it standing on the Word of God. When you don't know what to do, you've got to seek God. Give God opportunity to give you the wisdom. Then receive that wisdom by faith. And begin, the last point, to talk, act, and praise God as though
you have the victory. I don't have time, but you can go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And, 2 Chronicles, yeah, chapter 20 and verse 12. You know, that's where Jehoshaphat was there facing those three armies. And what did he say? He said exactly what I'm telling you. He said, "We don't know what to do, Lord." Say this with me. Say, "We don't know what to do, Lord. But our eyes are upon you." Now listen. They didn't know what to do, but they knew where to look. You see the difference? You're going to come to places in your life where you don't know what to do. But one thing you do know is where to look. And the Bible says they rose up early. They rose up early. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon that young man and he prophesied and told him, remember? He said, "The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's." And he gave them what? Instructions how to go out and to defeat the enemy that was trying to kill them. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says, and they went out and they sang praises to God. They lifted their hands to the Lord. The Lord is good, remember? And His mercy endureth forever. Amen. And as they began to sing praises and glorify God, remind God how big He was, God had already begun to set ambushments and the enemy annihilated and destroyed themselves within. Are you here this morning? They did something. First, faith always hears and then it acts upon what it has heard. That's why you have to give God the opportunity to speak into your life. And when you face something, hey, call on God for wisdom. Amen. But call on God for wisdom in faith. And don't you be double-minded. Don't get up tomorrow and say, "Well, it ain't working." Shut that up. It is working. The Word is working even behind the scenes, what you can't see. Come on, stand up with me just a minute. I said the Word. Come on. The Word is always working. And you're just praising God. God, I praise you.